session number 11970, reel 4.
Mr. Albert Birtwistle, reel 4. We were coming to the end of your training in Billings and then in Lehrer Camp.
Yes.
When did you first get news that the battalion, or rather a draft from the battalion, were intended for Gallipoli?
Well, it would be the end of our training, about May, you know. And we were issued with our kit to go abroad. The pith helmet and all the puggery and everything else. Well, we had to put our own puggery on our helmet. They showed us how to put them on. You put two needles into your helmet at each side, and then you worked around to get the puggery on the side of the helmet, you know, around. And
did you have trouble with that?
Well, we had to get it right for a start. I'll tell you, we had that, but. And then we had all our kit issued, you know, the shorts and different things for what you'd have in Egypt, and that's where you're supposed to be going abroad. When
did you know where you were going?
No, they only said like we were going abroad.
Had you heard of Gallipoli? That's been in late April.
No, we had not then. No, because as a matter of fact, they only said we were going abroad. We didn't know we were going to India or Egypt or wherever we were going to, you know, but they just issue with the fulfillment and the stuff for abroad. And then, of course, we were formed up, and he came round one morning and said, how old are you? How old are you? He said, 16, 19. You know, you said you were 19, but they said, right, come out. And they sent for our birth certificates.
How did they pick you out?
Well, they looked at us and
they just looked at you.
Looked at us and you were not 19, come out.
It's a bit late though, isn't it?
Well, it was, because we got an issue with our kit to go abroad. But anyway, we never went.
How many of you were picked out?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you now, there were quite a number of us.
Was Peter picked out as well?
Yes, Peter, there was Peter and myself.
And Peter Grimshaw?
That's right,
and
yeah.
He was underage as well?
Yeah, you were 16, same as me.
What about Leslie Ball?
Same age. Well, now then, I don't know, I don't think he was picked out. I think he...
So he was sent off even
I
though
think he
was
sent, yes, I think he was sent off.
So they didn't pick all... They didn't
but he didn't, they
all
didn't all go abroad, because...
No matter.
I can't remember.
You were picked out, and what, they sent home for your...
For our birth certificates, for our age, what is it, you know, and... And then we were transferred from that company then up to the Fort Efford, and that was a service company then. That was at Fort Efford. There were the old soldiers, and soldiers that had come back from the front, you know, and been discharged from hospital to regain the training battalion company.
So
and then they were sent abroad again then, you know.
This was B Company?
B Company,
but
yes.
But you were still in 3rd Training Battalion, were you?
Oh, yes, 3rd Training. Oh, yes, there was four companies training and four companies of old soldiers, you know.
Yeah, what was the situation in Fort Efford? What accommodation were you in there?
Well, we're in what is there, in... barracks there, more like barracks, you know, in Fort Efford, in barrack rooms.
What were they like?
Oh, they're all right, they're nice, they're better than what the camp was down at the camp, a lot better.
What were the advantages, then, do you think?
Well, it was, I think everything was, we were far better organised there than what it was down in the camp, because it was a bit rough in the camp, you know, because they had a canteen and they had the cookhouse, their own cookhouse for the company. It was just a company in there, do you see? And that was B Company. And Captain Bellamy was the captain of that company.
And you were made his servant.
Yeah,
you?
I made
Did
a servant.
Did that happen as soon as you
after,
got there?
No, not just at the beginning, but...
What were you doing at the beginning then?
Well, I was training at the beginning. We used to go out training, like, you know, same with the recruit companies, really. Being we were recruits, like.
How did you get on with the older soldiers and the
well,
the
all right. We learned a thing or two off them, I'm telling you.
That's interesting. What sort of thing would they teach
well,
you?
Well, different things. They taught you all the old rigmarole, I'll tell you.
Do you remember any of it? I mean, what sort of thing would an old soldier know that you hadn't picked up?
Yeah, I don't know. There was a one of the MPs, military police in our room, and Donald Stewart, he was called, and he was far around as he were I think, nearly. A little fat chap he was. Well, they learned us to play cards, I'll tell you. We learned a game, they taught us, and they called it German fat, but it was a German whist, it was. But every card counted, you know. It was a peculiar game. You had to get used to it. And this Donald Stewart, he taught me how to play this game. And believe me, we could win every blooming, because we got used to each other's hands, how to play and everything else. And we used to win and win and win. And I remember one night when Peter and I, with no money, we were in barracks, sat in front of a fire, and Donald Stewart, the canteen, was facing our, like, across the road, and the canteen was situated there. Well, Donald used to be always in the canteen, and he could see Peter and I sat on facing the fire. So he came across and he said, come on, he said, you. He said, I want you to... because he was short of a partner. He said, come on, he said, partner me in the canteen. So I said, I've no money, I can't do anything, you know. I'm not... he said, come on, he said, I'll pay anything, he said. They're playing for pints. Well, we won 10 pints, him and I. Well, these pints are lined up on the table. I said, you can sup them too now, you know. I think I had one else too, I don't know whether. But anyway, we won all these 10 games and all that. And the 10 pints were there. But them were things, you know, they taught you.
Was there much? I mean, now you're probably with older men like him.
Oh, you were, yes.
There'd be a bit more, perhaps, drunkenness about.
Well, there were, there were some drunkenness. And not only that, but in the hut next to me, next bed to me, was a young fellow called Joe Roberts. And he was a burglar in civil life. And he taught me about a lot of escapades that, you know, different things that he'd done, you know. Well, one night, when the canteen had been locked up, there was two chappies from the next door to us that were breaking in the canteen. And he says, oh, I'm having a... I said, Joe, I says, you're not. I says, you're stopping where you are. I says, you stop there, you're not, you'd get caught. I said, because I said... oh, I forget what this land's called, we're called. That were in the next hut that could see. They could see the door from his hut. And I said, because he made it up at the same time as me, Lance Corporal, acting Lance Corporal. Oh, I forgot his blooming name. I can see him now. Anyway, I said, now, just you stop here with me and just watch. I said, don't go out there. And by Jove, this corporal came out, and he, you know, to these two that were breaking in the canteen, and he put them on the peg. I said, there you are. I said, no, I said, you'd have been done. I said, if it hadn't have been for me. I said, you know. I said, you're foolish. And then he were courting a girl from down in Lara. And I said, what would you have told her, you know? I said, you're talking about getting married and all that. I said, Joe, I said, you want to think. I says, and leave blinking burglaring alone. I says, and get a job when you go out. I said, you know, you're well capable of doing things, but...
That's while you were at Lehrer Camp?
Yeah, well, we were up in this were at Fort Efford. And so, anyway, he went out to France. And one day I were on guard at the fort, on guard duty. And who should come in but this Joe Roberts. And he says, I've been looking for you, like you've been in the barracks. And because I were in the guard room when he went by. And he said, I'm inquiring about you. He said, I want you to come and be my best man. He said, I'm going to get married. I said, now, have you made your mind up? He said, Bertie, he said, I've gone straight ever since you was at me. He said, I've gone straight. He said, I'm having no more to do with it. He said, I'm going to, you know, go straight. So he said, will you come and be my best man? So I said, yes, I will. And he was marrying a Catholic. Well, he was a Catholic. And he married a Catholic. And so I went to be best man for him. And anyway, I never heard anything after. I don't know what happened to him.
What about some of the men who drank a lot? Did that cause any trouble for you? Because you were fairly abstemious.
No, it didn't cause any trouble. I kept out the road. I didn't bother with them, you know. You keep clear of them sort of fellas I did. I didn't bother with them.
What about VD and problems like that? I mean, not yourself, I mean, but...
Well, one night we were put on spud bashing, you know. About six of us, I think it were. And there were night operations that same night. Well, all these bag of potatoes, you know, you had to peel, ready for the next day. And we hadn't finished when they fell in on parade, so of course we never bothered. We carried on peeling our potatoes. But we were put on potato next morning, on peg next morning, you know, for being absent off parade. Anyway, went in and I told the captain, I said, like, we were on peeling potatoes, and, they should have been finished before, you know, they must have been slacking or something, they weren't done. Anyway, they gave us 3 days TB. So that was the only time I was on janker, that 3 days CB.
Every time what, was confined, what did you have to do?
You stop in barracks, don't you, confined to barracks.
Is that all it was?
And well, then they put you on fatigues, if there's any fatigues to do, you know, they give you the fatigue parties as well.
What were the jobs for fatigue parties then? You mentioned one, peeling spuds.
Different things, all the different things, like carrying stuff up from the camp stores, you know, or anything at all like that. There were all sorts of jobs, you know,
Were there extra parades or anything if you're on CB?
Well, you were. You'd answer the bugle every hour, you know, in front of the guard room. You'd fall in front of the guard room every hour when the bugle went, you know. And just answer your name. Then you were, of course, dismissed. Sometimes there's nothing to do. But...
Was there much problem with VD amongst some of the older men?
Well, there were some of them, yeah. Oh, well, of course, they were kept... You know, one part really. You didn't bother with any of them. Yeah, there was a lot of that. Yeah, because they were told you hadn't to go down certain streets in Plymouth because of that. You know.
Did you take that advice?
Of course I did. Dear and me, we did that. Peter and I never went down there. No, we used to keep ourselves to ourselves. You know, Peter and I.
Plymouth was quite a rough town then. I mean,
well, it was because.
What did you do when you went out?
Because the navy and all that. Well, we didn't do anything. We went to the palace, something, you know. Went to the palace theatre, and pictures or something like that, skating rink, and because there were two skating rinks. Oh, when Peter and I were skating round one night at the roller skating, and we're skating with two girls. And the girl that Peter, her drawers dropped down onto her, around her legs. So all the girls gathered round her, you know, and took her to one side. And anyway, we never saw him for weeks after. So I said, Peter, I said, come on, we'll go down to, not Everington Street, we'll go down, I forget where the other one was. Anyway, we went to this other skating rink, and we drove these two girls were there. So, of course, we got friendly with them again then, you know.
Did you do a lot of gambling in your spare time? I mean, cards and stuff.
No, we did a lot of card playing, but Not a lot of gambling, no. We hadn't enough money to gamble, really.
What would you spend your pay on?
Well, all sorts. I mean, to say something to eat. Sometime I went down to what it and used to get sausage and mash and faggots and peas and different things in town.
Well, you'd not liked your first week at Fulwood Barracks. Then you'd been in billets, and then you went to the camp and to Fort Effort.
Yeah.
You'd been a bit spoilt in the billets, I think.
Oh, we had. Yeah.
When you got back to army food.
Yeah.
How did it compare with Fulwood Barracks?
Fulwood Barracks. Fulwood Barracks was rubbish.
What about at Fort Effort?
Fort Effort was quite a good one because they had ovens and everything there, you see. You know, it wasn't the same as an ordinary camp where they just made stews, all stews. Oh no, there was roast beef and everything at Fort Effort. We got some good food at Fort Effort.
So was there enough, though? Because you said you went out for meals. You know,
we used to go downtown of a night time, you know, like you would do, you know. So after you've had your tea, we get supper time, you want something to eat. But we used to call in at the village where we used to be, and mother used to say, now don't forget, call as you're coming back. And she'd have pasties there for us, to take up the fort for us, you know, with us. You'd make a pasty, always, all made pasties for us.
So you were still visiting your old
village? She was grand. She used to say, come down and we have a sing-song and everything there, you know. We used to go down and have a sing-song. Hey dear, she was a grand old soul.
Church parade?
Well, church parade Sundays, yes. We used to go on church parade Sundays.
What was that like? And,
I used to like going on church parade, really. Because in the open, you'd see, down on the field, down on the training field.
Which denomination were you?
C of E, Church of England, yes. Oh, yes, I rather liked church parades. You know, it was something different.
Right.
When I was... I was made officer servant, you know.
That's what I was just going to ask you, yeah. When you were your Bellamy's servant, what exactly did you have to do as an officer servant? Could you run through
the job? Looked after his room and everything. Looked after everything, his kit and, you know, got his... polished his buttons and polished his belt and his Sam Brown, and he got everything, you know, cleaned up. And at the night time, they were going down the mess, and there was it on that mess. He had they had a evening dress then, you know. They had uniform, the evening dress uniform. He used to get his because they had high boots, you see, with the dress, and you put the boots down and put the trousers down. And then you pull the tops down, and he had nothing to do on it. He just put his legs in and pull his trousers up. You know, well, you just have to clean everything and get everything ready for him. For if you're going down the mess, you know, officer's mess.
Did you mind doing that? I mean,
No, no, I didn't. I used to like doing it, personally. And then, was officer, I was servant to two. Captain Bellamy, and I forget the lieutenant. Oh dear, I forget his name. But he was a grand chap, because he was billeted at... his wife was in lodgings down at the schoolmaster from Lara School. His wife was billeted there with her. So, of course, he used to go down... Well, he was there as well. He used to go down there, and but he came home to sleep up to the fort.
How did they treat you?
And he treated me like a gentleman. He did well, both of them, both Bellamy and him. They hadn't the wrong word for me. And
would they pay you at all extra?
Yeah, well, they give you a bit extra themselves, you know, because that's this officer, and I forget his blooming name. I can see him. Fenner, I think he was called Fenner. And, Lieutenant Fenner. And he was a full lieutenant. And every Friday night, I used to go in and take his things in, like what I had to take in. And he'd say, are you going down the boxing? I said, yes. He'd say, well, have you any money? You know, and I said, yes, I've got money, all right, so don't worry. But he said, here, there's £5 there. and he gave me £5. You know, well, in them days, 5 shillings were a lot of money, you know. But he used to always give me something when I was going down to watch the boxing. Don't be short, like, you know, come and see me. He was a grand chap with Lieutenant Fenner. And I remember once I had a boil on the back of my neck, and there was an Irishman, was servant, as well as, you know, and so we had servant's quarters, you see, him and I. And he said, "Oh, I'll get rid of that for you. Let's have a look at it." He says, "Yeah, it's just ready, just ripe." Well, he got a bottle and filled it with boiling water, and then poured the water out and put it on this boil. Oh, I thought he was pulling my head off. But by Jove, it sucked the inside of the... and sucked it clean, the boil. And as soon as ever it, you know, the boil went, of course it let go of the water, you see, and the bottle was off. But by Jingo, I wonder what the dickens you were doing, you know. Anyway, so I'll get rid of that for you. He did too.
Now, you were in close contact with the officers then.
Oh, yes, yeah, well, I mean, we're on the same landing as them, like.
What did you think of them as officers? I mean, do you think they were efficient officers? I mean, militarily.
Yeah, they were, both of them. Both them two were. Both Captain Bellamy and Lieutenant Fenn, they were both really trained army officers, you know, peacetime officers.
With regulars?
Oh, yes, regulars, yes. But...
Were they well respected by the men? I mean,
Yes. I think everybody thought well of them, you know, them too. But
the mess? Did you ever act as?
Yeah, I went down. I was waiting on. We used to have to go down waiting on, you know, on the way on the mess.
What would you?
Well, Peter, he got a job in the mess as the in the bar, you know.
The bar steward.
Yeah, aye. So he was all right. And
what would you do when you were waiting? Would you have to wear a special uniform? Or
no, just... no, just your own uniform, yeah.
And but, what was the job?
But Peter could wait on, he could carry 12 plates on his arm. You know, 12 with just the meat on, you know, they used to take the meat, plate and the meat, pull it down. 12 plates, I couldn't carry 6, never mind 12. And there was another fellow with him.
So you'd serve at the table?
Yeah, oh yes, you served, yeah. Taking everything off and, you know, taking it on. Yes, so you have to serve from the left-hand side, you know.
And who always told on you the all left. Who told you all the etiquette of it?
Well, Peter told me, because he'd been trained with one that was in the mess as well, a waiter at the mess. And this fellow had been... he worked in the... in the big hotel in Plymouth, you know, and he knew his job. I forget his name.
What were these mess nights like?
They're all right. They're okay. Yeah.
Were they very formal?
Oh, yeah. Oh, formal enough, but...
Was there much drinking going on?
Well, the officers, I don't know. They used to drink, but I never bothered with that.
Did you ever... Were there drinking to be... Were there any people getting drunk there, or was it just an ordinary...
Well, situation? Some of them used to take a bit extra, you know. Yeah.
But it doesn't sound as if it was too much of a problem.
No, not that I know of.
Did they play any games while you were there? You know, these mess games they sometimes have?
No, I couldn't say that they did. But sometimes they had, like, a bit of a dance, you know, and their wives came. The ones that were living down there, you know, they used to have their wives living outside, and they used to come in and have a dance. But we used to just look after the drinks for them, that were all... No, it was quite nice. I rather liked the, you know, the mess, what is it? Mess duties.
Did you have any other duties connected with the officers as a servant?
No, not that I know of. Only when we're at the Fort Efford, you know, where we were, that were all. We only had our duties to do, which you performed, and then you were free, you see.
When you were an officer's servant... Did you have to do the normal drill and training as well?
Oh, no. No, you were exempt that. You never went on parade. Only if there were a route march. You'd go on the route marches.
So it was a perk, in a sense?
Oh, yes. Oh, you were perks. Oh, yes. And then you got extras from them. You know, they used to give you a bit extra as well.
Now,
Oh no, they're very good.
That you you stopped being an officer, sir, when you became a Lance Corporal.
Yeah, whenever I made Lance Corporal.
Acting
Lance Corporal, yeah.
How did you become to be picked out as Lance Corporal, do you think?
No,
what started you off on your...
I don't know, don't ask me. I was picked out, that's all. And
so how were you told?
It appeared on the orders one morning that, a fella came to me and told me, you're made an acting Lance Corporal, you know. I think were the officer servant that were with me, the Irishman. I think he came to me and told me.
Yeah. Were you pleased? Because that was a...
Oh, naturally you'd be pleased, yeah. I were pleased, yeah.
Because you were losing your job as an officer
servant. Oh, well, I lost that, but I wasn't...
But you weren't getting any more money?
No, well, I was losing money, actually. But...
you didn't?
I didn't bother very, because I was quite pleased that I'd been promoted, you know, I think.
Were you ambitious for promotion, do you think?
Not ambitious, no, I were never ambitious. I wasn't, I was just doing the job naturally and got on with it. And I don't know, I tried to make myself as efficient as I could, you know. And when I were training...
What happened when you were made acting as corporal? You were told, it was on the notice board, what happened then?
Well, you'd put your stripes up, you know, you took your coat to the tailor and got the stripe put on. Of course, you felt a little bit elated, you know, and never one for domineering anyway, you know. I used to do my job and that was it.
So you started that business that you'd thought... You know, the two instructors, the hard one and the soft one.
Ah, well...
You'd gone that way right from the start.
I made myself... an efficient Lance Corporal, you know. I thought, well, I'll do my job, and they'll have to do the job. I wasn't soft with them, I mean to say, but still I wasn't a bully. And I don't know why it was, but I just fell in, you know, so easily. And it was easy to me somewhere, I don't know why, but...
When you were made Lance Corporal, did you have to? You moved out of your officer's servants. Did you go into a?
Oh, I went back in the room then. You know, in the barrack room. You see.
Now, were you back in with the old soldiers and the young?
Some of them, some of them. Yeah,
were
the
you
old.
In a new draft. Situation?
Well, there were old soldiers and young soldiers. You know, these young ones that
recruits.
Had come in. Oh yes, not the recruits that had come in, because that was a bit after.
So you were still actually with the old...
old soldiers, what our lot were old soldiers then, do you see, you know.
And still with B Company.
Yeah, aye. And then, of course, there was, they got a lot of young recruits, you know. So then I was put on... they gave me a platoon of young recruits.
When did that
happen? Well, wait a bit. First of all, I was telling you, I was training with Sergeant Major Watkins...
He was the one who'd given you a fright.
That's right. Him that caught me asleep. And
so what happened with that? You must have been.
He put us through the mill, you know, a separate platoon. Do you see, all acting Lance Corporal that have been made up, you know, and
what was he trying to teach you?
Well, all sorts. Had to go through the ordinary training, you know, so you training to train. You know, so you could train your lads, you know.
Was and he a good instructor?
Oh, he was a good one. He was a good instructor, yes.
Was he a hard man or a reasonable
Well, he was a reasonable chap. You know, when you're not... he wasn't a bully by any chance, but he used to be... You had to do what he said. Oh, no, he was quite a nice fellow. I rather liked Watkins after... When I got to know him properly,
so you
know,
you were in this platoon.
Yes, and he put me. He shouted on me, and he said, "Goldberg, when I'm not here, he says you're in charge." So he said, "Make and take him, you know, take him on drill and all sorts of things, and instruct him as you've been instructed." He said, "Because you're a trained officer, you're a trained NCO now, you know." So, of course, that was... and I wasn't very long with the platoon, with him either, because I was sent to Tidworth on a course of instruction to Tidworth.